But then it's time for us to be able to start to move from beyond just being instructed and being able to take the instructions and start to move them into active battle. And every single one of us today, if you could visualize this in the spirit, not only do you have that bow, but you have that quiver full of arrows that God has given us. Arrows that have specific purposes. The Bible says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raises itself against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obeying Christ. So I started to think about this week, and I started to think about this, that sometimes when I'm in certain situations in my life, you know what I need to be able to do? I need to be able to reach back and pull out the arrow of peace. I need to be able to reach back and pull out the arrow of what? Joy. Or maybe it's the arrow of provision. Whatever it is at that moment that I am facing, God has already given me something to battle it. Oh, come on, that's good. That I'm not sitting in my life powerless. That I am not sitting as a target for the enemy. Remember, we talked about this last Sunday. The birthmark of the believer is a target on your back. And the enemy of your soul constantly looking for ways to take you down. Well, you know what? I'm reaching the spot in my life with, I just don't want to be taken down no more. I don't want to feel like I'm just this leaf being tossed around in the waves of life. You know what? The Bible's telling me some things lately. It's saying, you know what? You aren't the victim. You're the victor. But until you see victory, you can't seize victory. Until you see what you're trying to claim, you can't get your hands around it. So we get instructions, okay? Oh, there's part of the problem. I think I got it upside down. So we get instructions, and then we go out. I promise I'm not going to hurt anybody. And then we're ready to fight. Try it again. Just got all those bills. My God, I don't know how we're going to make it. Just got that report from the doctor. I got trouble. My kid just got kicked out of school again. Just found him with drugs on him. Think this works. I think this is broken. I think my Christianity doesn't work. I think my trust in God, something's wrong with that. Maybe I need to try it from a different position. Well, there we go. This time I got it. Worse than the last time. Well, I read all those scriptures. I tried what the TV preacher told me to do. None of it's working. The problem is that oftentimes we believe that the power of God is found in our effort. And there's no power in your effort. The effort of man is always going to fall short. The more I put in and try, you know, I know you're so far beyond this in your spiritual walk. But I'm working on it. You know, there's those times when you fail God. And so, you know, you think, well, I'm just going to read more of the Bible this week. I'm going to be a better Christian. You know, and then that works for about 2 days. And then on the third day, you don't read 18 chapters in the Bible. And so on the third day, well, you lay down in bed, and the devil, man, he just jumps on top of you, and he's just like, boom, boom. You thought you could do this. You thought. And because in my own effort, there's no power. How many of you guys remember this beautiful scripture? You shall receive power. After what? After the Holy Spirit comes upon you. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I started looking at this passage again. And as I was reading and I was thinking about the arrows, and then the Lord just really started to point my attention. You know what? You can have all the arrows in the world, but until you realize that you've got a bow to shoot them with. I can sit there and I can, in my own power, I can try to push the arrow that I need toward the enemy, and it goes nowhere. But then the Lord says something to me and says, you know what? This isn't about you. This is about me. It's about me. The power that's in you, the power in this bow, this suddenly becomes a weapon. This bow in this position can't hurt couldn't hurt nobody. You know what? If I took that thing and I tried to point it at you like that and I tried to flick it, you know what you'd do? You're in trouble, brother. You'd be sleeping on the couch tonight. That thing would come out. You know what, George, you just... Pfft. But now, let me take that arrow and let me stand back. You know what? You're running. See, listen to me. When we allow the Holy Spirit to be active in our life in such a way that we no longer need instructions, because there's something inside of us that just rises up in the moment and knows what to do and how to go about it. I don't have to talk to you about worshiping. You just come into church and worship. We don't have to talk to you about having a prayer life. You just know that you cannot survive without a prayer life. I don't have to talk to you about you need to read your Bible. No, the bow that's inside of you, the Holy Spirit pulls back inside of you, and you can't go to sleep at night if you haven't picked up your Bible. When it comes to speaking about your faith to people, you know what? Some people tell me, oh, I'm so afraid to talk about Jesus to anybody. My God, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll never stop talking about your faith to people. And you won't talk about your faith in ways that are condescending to the person you're talking to. You'll talk to them about the love of Jesus and how it changed your life. That's when this message again starts to work, and it's effective. You know, when you're living a life that's full of God and His Spirit is moving through you. We've been talking about this for the last month or so. Trouble is going to find you. You guys know the situation we're facing right now. We are in the valley of the shadow of death in my family. And you want to know what? I don't fear it. I don't understand what He's doing. I can't figure it out for the life of me why God would have allowed this situation to happen in my family. But you know what? I believe it. All things work together for the good of those who love Him. And you know the only way that happens? And the only way that happens is I don't put that arrow in there in my own power and try to encourage myself in the Lord. No, I got to pull me, Lord. Pull it, God. You got to make it effective. The power faith begins when you no longer just need somebody in your ear instructing you, but it just starts to rise up inside of you. pull. And I was thinking about this too, how often in the Bible, the pull of the Spirit. It takes a little strength. It pulls against the structure. The structure is created to have some give to it. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit begins to pull on you, sometimes it's not comfortable. I'm remembering a passage earlier in 1 Kings, and I'll just read it to you. But it's in 1 Kings chapter 19 where the prophet Elijah is walking past the field, and this man is sitting in the field, and he's working. And all of a sudden, something happens as Elijah walks past, and he jumps off the horse in the field, and he runs to him and says, "Give me a minute. I'm going to go say bye to my parents, but I'm supposed to be going with you." That was Elisha. I'm also reminded of a moment back in the New Testament where a man is out fishing in a boat, and he has had a terrible failure with God, and he's out in the boat, and all of a sudden he hears from the shoreline, "Hey, take your nets and cast them on the other side." And you know what? He goes, "Oh man, I remember that instruction another time in my life. So you know what? I'm going to try it again." And he throws them on the other side, and the Bible says that all of a sudden the nets were full, and that man jumps off the side of the boat, and he's jumping off the side of the boat. He's going, "Jesus!" You know what that was? That was the pull of the Spirit, the pull of the Holy Spirit, driving him back to Jesus. And sometimes in our life, and I was talking to one of the men in the church recently, and he was sharing some things that were going through his life, and he was like, "I don't know if God is in this." And I said, I looked at him, I said, "Brother," and I knew what I was going to be talking about. I said, "God is always pulling you. And even though you're in a situation right now that feels very, very uncomfortable, and you're wondering, am I ever going to move through this? If you're not uncomfortable at times, then you don't know that God is there and that he's pulling." And when he pulls, you see, the thing about the bow that's really interesting is that the force of the pull determines the trajectory of the arrow. And so when God is pulling on you and he's loading you up, he's getting ready to shoot you, and only he knows how far he's going to take you. And man, that tension in your life at times, oh, if we could start to just recognize it as God at work preparing us for something, instead of resisting when God is pulling on us, instead of going, you know, and you know, I've had this failure a few times where I get mad at God. I get upset with him. It's like, "Lord, can I ever just have a moment when it all works right? Can I ever just have a moment when I don't," this is going to sound terrible, "can I ever have a moment when I just don't have to trust you?" I'm starting to hear the Lord speak this more and more. "Philip, where do you want to go? What do you want me to do with your life? You want a small life? Okay, I'll just pull on you a little bit. You want to maximize this life? Oh, there's going to be days where I'm going to pull back. I'm going to stretch you, and you're going to be screaming and thinking like there's this is it. Oh, this is the big one. Oh." But you know the other thing about that bow, when it pulls back? You can't aim an arrow if you don't pull back hard enough. I went out and tried target practice because I wanted to see how it worked. I was horrible at it because I didn't have a lot of practice. But one thing I did figure out was that if I was going to hit the distance of 50 yards or something like that, I had to figure out how hard to pull back, and then I had to kind of aim it and where I was going. And if I didn't pull hard enough, that arrow would take a it would fall not just a little bit short, but sometimes way short. And Sometimes I think that's what happens with us. We don't let God pull back hard enough. And so we want to get to a certain destination. You know, we want our marriage to be the best it can be. We want our finances to be restored. We want, name the request that you're bringing before God. And he says, okay, but for me to get you there, I got to pull. And then we start pulling back and we go, okay, God, that's far enough. Let me go. And he goes, but no, you're not ready. The power is when God starts pulling, when he starts directing you, when he starts moving you, when you stop being content to be stuck, when you start realizing that the rut you're in is not his making, that the rut you're in is not a place that you're supposed to die in. When you start to look at yourself and say, okay, that's enough. This is enough. God has given us the tools. But just as I was showing you a minute ago, the tools without the power of his Spirit are useless. Peace without the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never get to. Joy without the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never get to. They'll just be concepts that we read about in the Bible. And instead of them being living, active things in our life, we'll wonder, okay, God, when is this supposed to happen? So I came here to simply say this to you. Just as Paul said, we need to be filled with the Spirit. No. Listen, don't just, you got to get this. We need to be filled with the Spirit. I was unprepared for the news that I received about my grandson. But you know what? God already knew it was coming. And so, although I shed many tears because his Spirit was active in my life, you know what? I'm still standing. You don't know what lies around the corner of your life, but the God who created you knows. And my wife and me were talking about this the other day. We were talking about a person that we're very friendly with. And she looked at me and she said, you know what, I don't know how she does it. I that would have just destroyed me. And I looked at her and this thought hit me. Every one of us carries a different burden. And your burden would crush me. But God knows. And he knows exactly what you need in the moment to keep you alive and going and being able to have hope. You know what? That's the other beautiful thing here. Is he just breathes hope into these situations. Because what? That's not you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need to pray more for him. We need to pray more that he comes to our life. It needs to be the fervent prayer of our soul. Oh, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Oh, yes, even right now, somebody say it. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Oh, fill us, Lord. Fill us in ways like we've never experienced, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is not, you see, this is maybe the most important prayer that you can pray. Is, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, so that when you pull and you get ready to release me, Lord, I can hit the target that you want me to go to. That, Lord, when I need you to pull out the weapons of warfare that are mighty through God, Lord, that they're there and they're not just these broken down things, but they're active and vibrant. And when I'm praying for my family, that I can pray and I can believe that God, you can not only save them, but Lord, you can heal them, you can build them. too old to pray prayers that I don't believe in. I'm too old to pray to a God that I don't believe can change anything. So you know what? Fill me, Lord. Because the more that he fills me and the more that his spirit inhabits this mind and this heart, the more that I can believe that when I pray, he hears. When I call on him, he comes. When I seek him, he lets me find him. When I knock, the door is opened. When I taste him, I find out that he is good. Oh, I'm getting excited. This feels good to talk about my Jesus. Amen. All right, let's stop. Praise God. Maybe some of us this morning, right now, really, with your wherever you're sitting, you'd say, Pastor Phil, I I've been being pulled. It's not comfortable. I want to pray with you this morning. Maybe some of us this morning are realizing, hey, maybe it's some of that stagnant feeling in my heart. I'm not the Spirit of the Lord is not flowing in me vibrantly the way he used to. And you need to be filled. Or maybe like myself, some of us in this room today are facing some pretty intense situations. And we've been trying to manage them through our own effort. And I pray this morning that you hear my words. There's weights that you're carrying that you don't need to be carrying. They're not yours. You got to let them go. I want to pray for anybody that just, as I was speaking, maybe you just lift your hand. I'm raising my own hand this morning. Father, it's in the pull where the power is found. It's in the pull of your spirit. When you begin to pull us in a direction, God, so that you can release us, Lord. It's in the pull, Lord, where when we have to fight, Lord, the situations that are in our life, God, and we go to the weapons that you've given us, Lord, released in our own power, they're worthless. But, oh, God, when driven by your spirit, the things that I have seen you do, so, Lord, for every person in this room that these words, God, have found some place and they're resonating. Father, I pray, Father, for this church, just a mighty outpouring of your spirit upon us, God. God, I pray for a spiritual compulsion to be filled. That, God, it's just, it becomes like the life current that is flowing through the members of this fellowship, Lord. That, God, we need your spirit, Lord. We just need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to experience you on a daily basis, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's sing this one time as we close this meeting today. Will you?